The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And here we go, Digital Adele, back with some more Hoops Profile Beyond the Backboard podcast for you. And I just really want to thank everybody that's been liking the content, subscribing on YouTube. Our latest subscriber we had here, we have Damian Reynolds, Dakota and TV, Marcelino. Really, really appreciate all of your support and liking and subscribing on the channel. For those that like the audio only version, you can find us anywhere that podcasts are found. That's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, you name it. You can find us. And with that, I want to introduce my co-host here, Matt Hanifan. Welcome to the podcast where we're going to be covering
What's going on?
More prospects. Not much, man. How you been? How's life treating you?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. Ready to talk some, I was going to say Dallas Mavericks prospects, but prospect.
Today. Prospect. And a is he a half a prospect? Because technically he's no longer with the Dallas Mavericks, but overseas.
I would, maybe from a Mavericks perspective, yes. But I would just say him, no.
Personally, no. Right. From the Mavericks, yes.
Yeah, it's like one of those draft and stash. I mean, those used to be a lot more popular, I think, like 5-10 years ago. And now we have, they implemented like the two-way contract, they amended what two-way contracts were in like 2017, 2018.
Right.
Somewhere around there. And so then there's a lot more of that now. And then, I think he's more like a draft and stash. Not as popular. Not as popular.
Not
at least
as
I don't
popular.
Know if that's a technical term they use nowadays, but nevertheless, yes, he is overseas.
Absolutely. And so before we get into the minutiae and the details of the, Melvin Ajinka, his tape, tell the people where they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
At MPH_824_ on Twitter. You can find some of my writing. I do a bunch of writing. Hoops.com, a Miami Heat blog, Vendetta Sports Media, Mountain West Connection, which college basketball season is just about a month away. And so I'll be doing a lot of work there, where I do specifically cover the Mountain West Conference, even though, yes, there are probably not going to be a lot of draft prospects specifically that come from there, but it's still a fun conference, still one of the best non-power conferences in the entire country. And so I'm very excited for college basketball season. Obviously, NBA season starts in just under a month, just under 3 weeks, actually, training camp for the Miami Heat and really every other team around the league outside of a couple started this week. So, man, we're getting back into the full swing of things. I'm ready to talk. Again, I was about ready to make the same mistake. Melvin Ajinka.
Melvin Ajinka, that's right. That's right. The lone prospect for the crowded roster of the Dallas Mavericks. But for those that don't know, there's a school in the Mountain West, happens to be one of that we like to call a Nevada bias.
Yep.
Anytime we have Matt on, we like to sound it. It's like the bat signal on top of Gotham City's building.
Anytime. And they're still in the Mountain West. They're not a school like San Diego State or Fresno State or one of those schools that defected to this pack, weird six-pack, Pac-12, whatever.
Six-pack.
I guess now it's like a seven-pack with Gonzaga joining.
Right.
This week, which, I mean, talk about a great act. Not that
absolutely.
We're
going to
get into this discussion or anything, but we're a little off the rails already.
Right. You were really excited about it. It's an exciting thing for your conference to have a school like Gonzaga, but for sure.
No, not my conference. It's the six-pack.
The six-pack. I apologize.
I'm so loyal to my beloved Mountain West, where my beloved alumni is.
That's right. That's right, because everybody else defected. That's right.
Right, right. With respect to the six-pack, seven-pack, whatever you want to call it. I'm still loyal to my conference, even though it got considerably worse in both football and basketball. But that's neither here nor there.
That's right. Neither here nor there. No one came for your Nevada bias. No, but let's get right into it. We're going to talk a lot about Melvin. We both watched a couple of games. I watched a lot of him in Europe prior to the draft. And, you know, he's an interesting case study, right? So, like, in Europe, he actually shot the ball at that closer 3-point line, you know, way better than he did in summer league. Let me tell you, way better than he did in summer league. My first impressions of summer league, the game just looked too fast for him offensively. Defensively, they hit him. So, I mean, there wasn't much POA point of possession defense to view because he just stayed in the corner and played help defense the entire game. Both games that I watched. And whenever you're watching him play on offense, he's going to go left every time. And if he goes right, it's a pull-up jumper. Guaranteed. If he takes one dribble, maybe two at the most to his right, it's a pull-up jumper. And that's a tendency that professionals are going to pick up on really quickly. High-level players are going to pick up really quickly. And it makes him really easy to defend, to be honest with you. So before I get into all mine, since I have probably a lot more ammunition in the chamber in terms of stuff I've viewed, let me get your thoughts. I want to know what you know, and I'll fill in the gaps.
Yeah, I mean, he really struggled shooting in summer league, just to give viewers an idea, 13 to 44 overall, 29.5%, 5 of 25 from deep. He took most of his shots from 3-point range when he was in Europe too. So like, this is kind of like his, not his bread, but like that's something that pops off, I think, the most. And he shot it, I think, around his last year, around a 36% clip, 35, 36. And so, like, he wasn't shooting it poorly from deep. I want to say he took around 60, 65% of his shots from deep when he was overseas, and that kind of continued. To me, there was some decision-making with the shot selection just in summer league that I thought was not concerning. Because obviously when you're in this kind of position in summer league and you're surrounded by a bunch of guys who are also trying to make NBA rosters and their G League rosters and whatnot and trying to get an opportunity, like, you obviously want guys to be comfortable in their own skin when they're playing in this kind of environment. And he was a guy to where, like, there was a couple, you know, semi-transition possessions where he was pulling up from three, and it's just like, okay, I understand, like, that's something that you did overseas to some extent. Maybe not something that I would have advised if I was his head coach, but again, you want guys to be comfortable in their own skin. But he just wasn't necessarily efficient in that area to where I would want him to shoot that, or at least I thought it was like a smart decision. To me, it was interesting because you look at his measurables, like, all right, 6'8 with the 6'7 wingspan. He had a 31, 32 inch max vert. 27 inch standing vert. Like, to me, I felt he was more springy just in games than when I just looked at those measurables, or at least when I looked back at those measurables. But he also didn't look as big as like his 6'8 frame would suggest. I mean, he does have, even though the 6'7 wingspan doesn't indicate it, he does have like decent length just for being 6'8.
Right.
But he didn't look 6'8 when he was on the floor.
No, he doesn't play like it.
Yeah, he looked just a little bit smaller. I think the biggest knock for me, just from what I saw from this abbreviated sample, was to me, just his touch, like not even just touch, like 3-point, not even that, like just his shooting touch around the rim and his in-between game, like it just didn't seem like he had like great touch in that specific area. And like, maybe, I don't know if it was like the physicality. I don't know what to amount it to. Defensively, I am with you in the sense that like, there were a couple of times where he was playing weak side and like he had a weak side block. And, you know, getting into the passing lanes like every once in a while, but it wasn't like there wasn't anything on ball that really, you know, stood out or popped out to me. Like they didn't really go at him on ball. I know just from the clips that I saw when he was overseas, like he had decent lateral quickness. It wasn't great. It wasn't terrible. There were a couple of times where he was beaten off the dribble, but it wasn't anything crazy good or crazy bad, but something that like, okay, yeah, you know, he's a little bit probably raw in this area from a defensive skill set standpoint, but there's at least something there. I'm not sure. I wonder what your thoughts are on that, but offensively, it was a big struggle. Just from a shooting perspective, again, I want to see, at least in the tape that I watched, I want to see them lean into what his skill set was, like, you know, him coming off screens and, you know, him attacking closeouts just a little bit more. Like, I wanted to see them set him up for that. I mean, there were times where he attacked closeouts. That's not, like, something you need to set up schematically. But, you know, him specifically, like, running off screens and using him in that way and freeing him up. But, again, like, I know they're not catering an offense just around him. I know there's Prosper's there. There's a few other guys there that, like, again, there's not much of a summer league structure in that sense. And so I understand why they didn't necessarily do that like they did overseas, where he was coming off of screens and he was being more of a movement shooter threat. But even in the half court sample, semi-transition sample, I just wasn't incredibly impressed offensively. But again, this is an abbreviated sample. I don't know what necessarily to amount this to. Obviously, he just turned 20 years old in July, and so like there's still a lot to work on when he is back overseas. Like the handle, to your point, because he does go left a lot.
Yes, he does.
Maybe there's like some secondary, you know, playmaking that he can work on. Like he feels more like a complementary piece to me in the sense that like I don't think he's ever gonna be like a primary initiator, but maybe he on second side actions or third side actions, that's where he'll create most of his offense, and maybe he can improve some of the playmaking stuff and whatnot, and just again, little things to work on in addition to the defense, in addition to, I guess, not more efficient shot diet because he shoots a lot of threes, but more efficient shot making inside the arc, if that's something that he can potentially work on, at least so he's not shooting 29.5% from the field in summer league.
Yeah.
And with a poor, you know, shooting percentage on twos, I don't know what I'm just trying to do quick math in my head. 8 of 19. So I guess that's not like the worst in the world, but it's still not great.
No.
So like there's some stuff to, obviously, to work on there, but like what are your, I guess, thoughts just from my rudimentary scouting of
No, I mean, you actually made a lot of great points that come up in my notes. We talk about his jumper, which is supposed to be his bread and butter. In Europe, you're absolutely right. He was 35.7% his last season from the 3-point line in Europe, from three. And he was nowhere close to that in summer league.
Hold on. One more thing I want to add just on the jump shot. Sorry to cut you off. But like when I watched clips of him overseas versus clips of him in summer league and the tape in summer league, I don't know what your thoughts on this were, but to me, it felt like in summer league, like slightly quicker release, but also a lower release. Did you come up like he was still getting lift on his shot?
Right.
And it felt like the ball was coming out of his hands faster, but it felt like they were closer to his eyes versus above his head.
Absolutely. No, you're spot on. You're spot on. I brought my notes a little closer because I want to read exactly what I wrote. And you can tell me if this lines up to what you thought. It says, I don't care for his follow through. His follow through needs to be higher. His angle of release isn't 45 degrees. It's more flat. Poor footwork on his shot is set up is leading to his inconsistent jumper. I saw one jumper from the left corner. He airballed it wide right of the rim and he's left handed. So the ball went from left to right to airball. And it was by like 10 feet. He airballed this. And what happens with Melvin is that he sets his feet up and they angle away from
the NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.49 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The hoop, which is fine when I set up, my left foot angles away from the hoop, but my right foot is perfectly straight. And what that means for you as a basketball player is your shoulders are square. Like if my right leg, my dominant, were the same leg that I shoot with, or the same arm, same leg that I shoot with, if it's pointed at the hoop, that's where the ball is going to go if your elbow is straight. His feet, both of them, are pointed away from the hoop. And what that does, it opens up his left shoulder, which is his shooting arm. And that's what is causing all these variances. So sometimes he's jumping and he's floating to his right, but he's shooting with his left hand, and you have greater opportunity for deviation. And that's why he shot such a low percentage. You were spot on all of it with your rudimentary scouting from clips. That was great, man. I had to watch all these games to figure that out. You're savant.
Well, I mean, like, all right, I'm saying that just specifically from, like, I wasn't able to watch, like, full games of his.
I'm messing with you, dude. Games of his in some, I know. Like, I'm messing with
you. I know, but I'm just saying, like, it, to me, it just felt like I am with you with like, the base of his shot. Like, it, yeah, a lot of it is pointed to the right, but just from the clips that I saw overseas, like, it felt like, again, he was getting decent lift, and that wasn't a problem, but it was in the sense that, like, I don't, when you have a lower release point in the NBA versus over, like, it, to me, that doesn't let, maybe I'm wrong, it just depends on the shooter and depends on the player. It didn't really cause much of a problem, but just from, like, a form standpoint, like, I wonder if that's something that they worked on, where he had a lower release where it was closer to his eyes versus, I think, overseas it was, you could tell it was a little bit of a higher release.
Well, I think, so here's what happens. There's two things that are happening. One, the game's too fast for him. You're spot on about him quickening his, he's going too fast. He's just trying to get his shot off. And when you speed up like that, you, especially for a young player, you lose your form. I obsess over form. And my form, everybody's form is different to a certain degree and unique. But there's certain principles of your form that typically need to be there. Caitlin Clark is an anomaly. So, like, nobody's going out being like, hey, I'm going to teach you to shoot like Caitlin Clark, because her shot is the opposite of how you would teach somebody to shoot. But for most shooters that are high-level shooters, like Klay Thompson, for example, they have a repeatable motion, elbows in, you know, you get that high follow-through, 45-degree angle, blah, 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 blah. Shoulders square every time. For Melvin, when he's got sped up and him having that low release, when you don't shoot at a 45 degree angle and you shoot less than that, the deeper you get, the harder it is to gauge where the ball needs to go. That's why a lot of them were clanking off the back of the iron. And then the misses to the left and the right are because of the way his base was set up. So he's got a lot of work to do, man. He would have had a hard time sticking on the roster, to be honest with you, because Dallas is loaded with players in the guard spots in the wings. So it was a good decision by him. I'm sure Dallas was in his ear saying, hey, go work on these things. We like you still. Just go over there. We need the roster spot.
Well, I mean, that's exactly what it is, because it's like if he's not getting a two-way, or, you know, if they're not giving him a second round exception, which is a new thing with the new CBA, or anything like that, then I'm sure they're probably like it, or they at least gave him the decision to go overseas, and that's probably what was best for him, because right. then he's getting, I mean, not that the G League isn't bad or anything, but like he's probably getting a lot more reps. Maybe not. Maybe it's close to the same, but he'd probably be making a lot more money, obviously, overseas than he would be in the G League. And so I think that's probably what they were telling him. Because, I mean, yeah, they do have a loaded roster in that sense.
He's going to make more money. He's going to face higher quality defense than he would face in the G League. Most yeah. G League defenses. AAU level defense, to be honest with you. Like,
yeah, I've talked about this with Major before. Like,
yeah,
one of the things that the Skyforce needed was like legit, like point of attack. But I also made the point to him on one of our first pods. Go check out the Force with Matt and Major, by the way. Shameless plug. But one of the things that I talked about with him was like a lot of these guys aren't good defenders, or at least not a lot of like the defense here is obviously multiple tiers lower than it would be at the NBA level, because if these guys were high caliber defenders, they wouldn't be in the G
100%.
And so like that's kind of like, yeah, you would be facing higher quality competition. And also like the thing again that benefits Ajinsa is I think the complexity of offense and the kind of offense that benefits him most and the stuff that he can work on is overseas and not in the G, because just how the style of play, I just think, is a little bit different. I think that's more beneficial to him and what he could potentially work on, in addition to what he would have to work on if he was in the G League.
Absolutely. And I don't, before I forget, because we got on to his offense pretty heavy, defensively, I wanted to point out as well, he bites on pump fakes. I mean, I saw him bite on one of the worst pump fakes I've ever seen. Like, it was a slow, like not even with urgency, and he bit completely flew by. His point of attack defense is terrible. Cody Williams, even though he's a lottery pick, he's not taking people off the dribble with his dribble game. He abused Melvin out of the triple threat, gave him a little left and right shoulder fake that wasn't even like exaggerated. It wasn't even like a great, you know, make him move. No, it was like a very slight head and shoulder fake, and he just got blown by. So his defense leaves a lot to be desired, but he tries. Like, he's got high energy. He bounces a lot when he's, you know, in his, you know, wanting to do it. I just don't think he has, one, the basketball defensive IQ to do it, nor the foot speed to do it. His lateral quickness side to side isn't great. The other thing is, his testing numbers, even though they were decent, he's not as athletic as you'd think. Like, he had one alley-oop dunk that was all right, but a lot of his takes when he gets to the rim, he can't take contact, and he just doesn't really come across as athletic as you think he is. Like, the test, he's a better tester than he is game athleticism, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, it does. Like, again, that was one of the takeaways that I had just from a finishing standpoint. Like, it just didn't seem like he was able to take much contact. And no. I think, not that he was, like, afraid of contact. It just wasn't, like, his touch would get messed up if he had to absorb a lot of contact. And I just didn't think that. I think that was part of the issue with that. And I think, again, over time, I don't know if it's going to be overseas. I don't know when he comes back. Like, he's going to have to build up his frame just a little bit. I don't know exactly how much he weighs. It was around, I want to say, like 215, 210, 215 around there. Yeah. So like, he's like 6'8", 2", like 6'8", 215. You're going to have to build up your frame if you want to be an NBA caliber player.
6'8", 210.
Point stance. Like,
right on, dude. Yeah. You're right on.
So he's going to have to improve it just again, like, He may be a player throughout his career where he has to take, where he takes, you know, 50-60% of his shots from deep. But if he wants to get, because again, like, one of the things that I liked about him just from, again, the tape that I saw was his ability to attack closeouts. Like, I thought he had a solid first step and whatnot. But if you want to prevent defenses, like, obviously make your threes at a better efficiency, I would say. I mean, again, 37% or 36%, whatever it was, overseas isn't bad. But in an NBA context, like, if you want defenses to respect you and whatnot, like, and if you want defenses to at least keep you honest, I think, you know, developing not a better in-between game, but better a game around the rim, in addition to having just more than a one dribble pull-up as an in-between game. Like, if you can develop a floater, if you can develop something like that, I mean, he had a couple, like, I think he's willing to go to the rim, but it's just the finishing. Like,
he's not physical enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if you can finish better at the rim, in addition to making more of like, it's just going to open your game up just that much more. But I do like he is willing to attack closeouts. He is willing to do that stuff. And so I appreciate that part of his game. It's just a matter of the efficiency of it. And that's where I think, therein lies the issue.
Right. But you got to look at it in this context too, right? Like, what's the ultimate goal for him with the Dallas Mavericks? That roster's loaded. They don't need an on-ball guy that can dribble. Kyrie and Luka's taking all of that. So you got to space the floor and you got to be able to play defense. Like, that's what you need to do to be able to make that roster. And he just doesn't have that. So that's why he is saying goodbye.
Say goodbye.
And they're stashing him back overseas because he's just not a fit right now with the skill set that he has. He's not ready. He's just not ready for the NBA. That's my ultimate conclusion for Melvin. So with that, I don't really think we have a Miami Heat related way to link this. So I think we're going to skip the Heat hour. But I do want to talk about a couple of quick things before we get out here. So
I thought you were going to ask, like, who's going to play more on the Heat or who's going to play more in the NBA? Like Drew Smith or
Melvin.
Melvin. I'm just kidding.
That's right.
I don't want to slander Drew Smith.
Don't slander Drew. He's a good dude, but he's going to lose his spot to Isaiah Stevens. I said it first.
I second.
Yeah, man. So yeah, there's a couple of business things though that I just want to do real quick. So, this podcast is growing rapidly. This channel is growing rapidly, and we appreciate all of the support that everybody's been showing. And when draft season rolls around, we may cut this down to once a week podcast, because the amount of research it takes for me to do the videos and cut them up and break them down, it might be a little too much. But it is just a podcast in terms of me just cutting it up into, like, I really just imported to YouTube, basically. I don't really do too many cuts. So we'll play that by ear. But as we continue to grow and expand, there's going to be multiple ways that you can support the show. And that is through subscribing, going on Apple Podcasts, going on iHeartRadio, leaving 5-star reviews. We encourage all of that, because at the end of the day, we appreciate the support and we need it to grow. So in the audience, don't forget to leave a comment down below. Let us know what you're thinking, how you feel, and tell a friend to tell a friend. Spread the word so we can keep on growing this thing. I'm Digital Adele. You can find me anywhere on social media under that moniker, and Hoops Profile here on YouTube. And then Matt. Oh, also 5 Reasons contributor. Matt, where can they find your work?
HotHotHoops.com, VendettaSportsMedia.com, MountainWestConnection.com, WatchPlayback.tv/5RSN, 5 Reasons Sports. We do a lot of good stuff over there on Playback. We watch games. We talk about all that stuff during the games and break down all that. That's a whole lot of fun. Yeah, man, I'm all over the place. Again, at MPH_824_ is where you can find me on Twitter. That's where I'm at with most of my stuff. But yeah, man.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate having you on, man. It's been a blast. And I hope everybody out there that's listening, you have a great rest of your day. Take care. See you next time.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.49 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.